are listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Four Square Church in Reno, Nevada.
Hey there, I'd like to invite you back towards a seat. We're going to be continuing in our series called Living on Purpose. Our text today will be bouncing around a little bit. We'll be parking in Matthew 6 and also Matthew 18. Since the beginning of the year, we have been talking about living on purpose or setting our intention on how we are choosing to engage with the world around us, with the people in it. And we want to live with intentionality. We don't want to just let life happen to us and then react. If you're like me, when we react, you usually get the worst version of ourselves. Okay? So one example of this is I am not a handyman. But I know going into the situation, if I'm going to be doing something that requires power tools or blunt objects that you could like hit, other pointy objects like a hammer and a nail, I need to purpose to not just be wearing my contacts, but put on like my special, not quite bifocals, but I'm mostly their glasses, and then focus a lot. I can't have radio playing, I can't have other stuff, because if I am attempting to do something handy, it's going to require all of my attention. Because otherwise, I'm going to hit something that is breakable. And it's usually going to be something like me. And then you start getting things that come out of our reactions that are the very worst of our flesh. Okay? I can still remember being with my dad. My dad is one of the people I look up to the most in faith. He became a Christian when he was about 20. And both he and my mom are people who broke many cycles of sin and other types of behaviors in order to be really first generation people who followed after Jesus. And as a result, you know, my brothers and I, we get to follow Jesus, my kids do, and so on and so forth. So I can remember the time when my dad was backing up in our Volkswagen bus. We had like a 1973. We had several buses. This is probably a 1973. It had a motor the size of like a golf cart's motor. So it was like three squirrels inside the engine driving that baby. And as he's backing up, we back into a telephone pole. And it was the first time I'd ever heard my dad swear. And it was one of those moments where it's just me and him. And at my house, shut up was a bad word. I mean, you were getting one of those on the mouth if you had said shut up. And he said, I like a real one. I remember him looking at me and me looking at him. And he says, it's the flesh. And it cracked me up because it happens to the best of us, where we can be intending to just having positive things coming out of our mouth. And yet something happens to us that catches us, kind of blindsides us and takes us out, and our flesh pops up. In this particular situation, we're looking at what it means to live like Jesus. He's our example. We're not just attempting to do better than the guy next to us or better than the lady next to us. If we compare ourselves to people, we're going to find people that we're doing better than. We're going to find other people who aren't doing as good as us. We can start measuring ourselves according to them. Immediately, when we start talking about sin and wrong, we can think, well, I'm not as bad as, and we always bring up, you know, some gross example. You know, Saddam Hussein, I'm not as bad as him, or I'm not as bad as Benito Mussolini. I'm not as bad as these dictators from our past. Like, okay, maybe you're not as bad as them, but there is no one who lives blamelessly. All of us have missed the target. And so for us, we are looking not just at what people can do. We're trying to see how can we live like Jesus did, fully mature, relying upon the Holy Spirit, intending to bring glory to God in everything that we do. How can we do that? And so part of that is aiming to be like him. Now, one of the things we're going to be addressing today is forgiveness and living on purpose to forgive. This is a lot like temptation. We want to be prepared in advance of the temptation so we know how we will respond when the temptation comes. So we want to know how we will respond. We need to be people who forgive in advance of something happening that will cause us to have to be in a spot where we decide whether we'll forgive or not. The reason we have to know that we're going to forgive in advance is because when it's actually happening, the last thing we're going to want to do on the planet is to offer forgiveness. We will want, if you're like me, a firstborn child, you want retribution. You want justice. You want there to be a quick and with great prejudice response. You want there to be some power involved, okay? So in the middle of this, it helps us to know that the standard that we're using to forgive is the standard that God uses with us. He says, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I will not forgive you. I can almost hear, I have a friend who used to say, you know, it's your choice what you get to do. It's your choice. And Jesus offers that up to us today. Will we forgive and receive his? Or we insist on a different standard where we don't forgive and then block forgiveness to us. Let's think on that. Sin is a problem that every single person on the planet struggles with, and it's passed down through Adam and Eve. It comes down through the father's line. That's why Jesus did not carry sin, because his father was God the Father. His immaculate conception took place with the Holy Spirit. And so sin is something that means missing the mark. And to miss the mark, it's the wrong that we're doing, but then there's also the consequences for the sin, the consequences for the wrong. And so several years ago, my wife and I and our kids were traveling in Switzerland. I told the story about how we were attempting to get on the train from Frankfurt to Basel, and we ended up getting off at Basel Bad. And because we got off at Basel Bad instead of Basel, which seems really close unless you're actually from there, you know, it means something completely different. We ended up getting sidetracked, and our agenda for everything that we were going to do seemed like it was totally thrown into chaos, because there was one really nasty Swiss, you know, pardon my Swiss, really nasty guy who stood there and wouldn't speak any English to us. I mean, yes, we're in his country, but we're also traveling, obviously American, three little kids, you know, throw a brother a bone here. And he says, after we missed our train, he hadn't talked any English to us. He says, "Looks like you've missed your train now, doesn't it?" And I was just so frustrated with him. And I'm looking at him, and Johnny's, I can just tell, is thinking, "Dad, don't punch him. Dad, don't do it. We're in a foreign country. Get thrown in jail. I have to be the man of the house." And then I could almost hear him thinking, but then I could be in charge, and Joey would have to do what I say. It'd be great. And so it was a bad train to be on. And so everything that was going to happen after we missed that particular train was delayed. And it was all because of that dude. Okay? That dude did it. And there came a point where we're actually in Switzerland trying to enjoy ourselves. And it's okay to try and enjoy yourself in Switzerland until you go into McDonald's. And going into McDonald's, we order for our family, very small. It comes out to $53 American. We were ordering small things. Is that right? So yes, it's $53. It's fast food. It's like, heck yes, it's fast food. It's also worth more than gold. It was crazy. And so we're going through, and I just can't enjoy myself. And there came a spot where we're in our room, and we're looking out, and we can see these beautiful sights. Lake Zurich is there, and it's just one of the most beautiful places in the world compared. I mean, you look at, like, Lake Tahoe, it's got a berry, but it's really, really cool. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just so mad at that dude. So mad, because he threw my schedule off. My wife is like a duck sometimes. She can let those things just roll off her back like water. But for me, it kind of sits here, and it stews, and it grows, and it gets inside this furnace, and the furnace builds up. And pretty soon, there's just like steam coming out of my ears. And she says, "Why can't you just let it go?" It's like, but that guy, you know what he did to us? That was vindictive. Yeah. And she's like, "And?" It's like, "What good is this getting you right now?" It's like, I don't know, but it's just, when you're giving, kind of, you're feeding the rage, there's a positive, at least for a short period of time. You know what I'm talking about? That's like, I'm justified, I'm on a roll, I'm feeling really good. You know, that leads to the things where, you know, we get really smart and punch inanimate objects, like walls and windshields, theoretically. We'll do these things, and pretty soon, these actions, stemming from our unforgiveness and stemming from the wrong that's been done to us, start dovetailing to where, you know, we're going to be in Switzerland for 3 days. You think you can pull your head out and start interacting with the rest of the family and have a good time? Because my wife has said at various times, I'm like a thermostat. A thermostat sets the tone for the rest of the room. There's others that are kind of temperature gauges that kind of read what's going on in the room and respond. And I think, I don't want, by my negative responses, by my stewing, by my holding on to junk, to keep the rest of the world around me in a constant state of, uh-oh, how's Dad doing now? Is he still mad at that dude? If he is, let's give him some free rein. Or am I going to be able to move past that? Purposing to forgive is something where we begin to take into consideration what God has done for us, but then also the fact that every single person on the planet has great need of God's forgiveness. And here's why. Let's go to the next one. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And then Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So when we're looking at this, we're thinking every single person on the planet is in need of forgiveness. Don't be thinking in your head right now of people you know who need forgiveness, unless that person is you. Because it's very easy to think, I can name those people. I've got so-and-so. You live life on the planet, people are going to wrong you. And the possibility exists that we would carry that wrong with us and think, I just wish they'd turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. It always starts with us. and our desperate need for it. Psalm chapter 130, verses 3 and 4. King David writes this. In this moment of awe, he says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Get that. If you should keep track of our sin, God, who could stand up in front of you? The question answers, no one could. But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. And this fear is not I'm hiding in a bush because I'm afraid of what God's going to do me. This is a reverence. This is a thankfulness that there's something so significant and so powerful that God does. It's probably second only to the love of God. Is he offers forgiveness to all who would receive him. He does not offer the opportunity for him to vindictively pay us back for every sin. Instead, he says, I want to pay the price that your sin will not have to be exacted from you, but that you would be forgiven. With God, we can know that our relationship with him, because God offers forgiveness, our relationship with him is in constant repair. Not constant need of repair, it's in constant repair. It's our journey class today happened to be talking on forgiveness as well today. And so I think God's trying to tell me something. As a matter of fact, I know he is. We have some things going on in our lives where I get confronted with the whole thing of, you can't just talk about this, now you get to live it. It'd be much easier to be able to talk about forgiveness without God shining a bright light into the depths of my soul and saying, but what about this area where there's unforgiveness? Like, well, let's not talk about that. Let's save that for another time. We can do it in private and not have to address anything up front. So no, it's right here. How we forgive others is a basis for God's forgiveness with us. Our relationship with God is in constant repair because of what he's doing. The analogy that I came up with is it's like Reno and construction on the streets in the summertime. No matter where you're going in Reno, you see what should be our state flower, which instead of sagebrush, it should be the little orange cones or the little orange piley things. Because everywhere you go, there they are. And while you may be in various points of frustration, depending on the construction that's going on near your home or on the streets that you travel, you can know that anything that needs to be repaired is being repaired by crews that are going to be there on a regular basis. A couple weeks ago, Joni and I were driving. We live out Pyramid Highway off of this drive. And as we're driving out Pyramid, there was the mother of all potholes. And we're driving together, and I did my best to avoid it. Anybody besides me, when you're driving and you see something you don't want to hit and you move a little bit, you hit it? Yes, and so we went through the pothole. It's like, I should call and report that. And my wife said, you don't need to call and report everything that you see, okay? You don't have to do that. Because if I take it seriously, you're not supposed to talk on the phone when you're driving. So when I'm driving, I say, Joni, I need you to make a call for me. And then she's like, I'm not going to be the person who calls for you in this situation. They're going to fill it. They're going to fix it. They're working on the streets. Next day, we're on our way home. It was filled. It was taken care of. God is always at work in us. So that any time we have a point of need for forgiveness, he is on the job because of what Jesus has done. Jesus' resurrection and his atoning work on the cross provided a spot for us to know we will always be in relationship with him. And there's no sin that can separate us from him. Nothing we're doing now, nothing we would do in the future. This is not license to go out and let your freak flag fly. This is a assurance that God has us covered and we are not living in such a tenuous relationship with him where it's like we make a mistake. It's like, I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder if I'd be welcome at the table. I wonder if he'll receive me. The answer we can always know will be yes. What about if we sin? How do we know God's going to forgive us? I'm glad you asked that question. 1 John chapter 1 verses 9 and 10 says this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. In math, they call this an if-then. If we confess, what God promises to do is that he will forgive and purify from all unrighteousness. We will be forgiven, not based upon what we've done, but based upon God's word, based upon what Jesus has done in his death on the cross, and based upon this promise of being received every time we go to the Lord. There is no time we cannot go before him with boldness. Hebrews 4 says, we have a God who experienced every kind of temptation we could ever experience, yet was without sin. So we can now boldly go into his presence, knowing we're going to receive the throne of grace and receive what we need at the time of trouble. That gives us, that's good news. Anybody besides me, this is good. Yeah. We often will interact with God like our relationship with him is merit-based. I can't really pursue God right. I need to get my life together. You know what? You can't get your life together until you pursue God. Because the best job you're going to do is just a little less of a shambles. It's kind of like if you really want to get your room clean, you bring the mama bear in with you. Because there's nobody that knows how to clean and where to put stuff like the mama bear. I can go in and I can do my very best. So look at it and think, that was a really nice try that you did. But if she gives me the list and shows me, here's what it's going to look like, she can go in and thoroughly do it. This is what God does to us. He doesn't just give us a list of things to jump through, hoops to jump through. He gives us, this is what it takes. These are the parameters. Come and receive my grace. Receive my forgiveness. Don't try and fix stuff on your own because your best attempts are going to be not even begin to measure up. But what I've done for you is more than enough. Right on? Okay. So Jesus had a way of kind of making forgiveness a part of our everyday life. And his disciples say, you know, teach us to pray. And he busts out with something we call the Lord's Prayer. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. He says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus on forgiveness says, when we pray, we are to pray that we would be able to forgive in the same manner that we have forgiven. We have a huge need of forgiveness that we would be able to walk in right relationship with God. Okay, so let's look at the next verse. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. My entire growing up when I'm reading through this, I would read through a section of scripture, and the headings that often will show up in your chapters are helpful a lot of the time. This one says the Lord's Prayer. It would usually cut off after it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others as who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it would kind of cut off there, and there'd be another section. But this section right here is integrally related to the previous section. If you forgive others their trespasses to you, then God will forgive you. The law of reciprocity. If you do not forgive, then you're blocking the reception of God's forgiveness. Because God will extend forgiveness to us in the same measure we give it to others. Not fair. More than we deserve. But at the same time, it's part of our human condition. We want mercy for ourselves. We want grace. But when it comes to someone who's wronged us, the first thing that rises up, at least in me, is we want justice. We want them to pay. Anybody besides me, you wrestle with this? Please. Okay, four of us, five of us. We do. Thank you. I appreciate you. Thank you. Both hands. There we go. That's part of being human. But we're called to be something different than just going to the lowest common denominator. We are called to follow after an example of Jesus who, being fully man and fully God, was able to live a life that was sinless. And then when his family came and said he was crazy and tried to hide him away so he wouldn't be out among the people anymore. And when he gets told by the Pharisees he's possessed by a demon, the only way he can do any miracles is because of the devil. When he's got people who are spitting at him and he's crucified on a cross and people are yelling at him saying, if you're really God, why don't you come down off the cross? Because you said you were. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, if Jesus had left me in charge at that moment, I would have been tempted to call down the fire from heaven. I'll show you God. I don't deserve this. A little fire, a little lightning, bagoom, there we go. So you think I can't come off of here? I'm up here for your good. He's up there paying for people's sins and they're spitting on him. Everything that we could potentially experience, Jesus has experienced. Every area of temptation that we could potentially experience, he has gone through. And his response is, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. We can say, well, that's just Jesus. Actually, Jesus never played the God card. He never did something that we, powered by the Holy Spirit, cannot do. Ever. It'd be nice if we could say, see, I'm excused from this sort of behavior because that was Jesus and I'm just Louis. Now he says, everyone we follow after Christ because we want to measure up to the full maturity of who he is. So that requires we learn how to deal with unforgiveness. Let's look at Matthew 18, 21 through 22. Peter came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times," or 70 times seven times. How many times? Immediately before this, there was some back and forth. Jesus said, if your brother or sister has something against you, go to them, try and make it right. If they won't listen, then take somebody else to go with you and have witnesses. And it carries through the whole focus is restoration and reconciliation. Peter and Andrew are two of the first disciples that Jesus called. So when Peter comes to Jesus and says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me in the same day three times? He's dealing with somebody who's sitting right here. How many times do I have to forgive Andrew? Three times? According to Jewish tradition, three times for the same offense was enough. After that, you could take off your shoes, beat the dust off, and say, you know, I'm done with you. Jesus says, actually, no, 77 times. It's like, that's a lot. Are we supposed to be counting? I think he's actually saying, no, you're not counting. If someone in true contrition comes to you and asks for forgiveness, you're offering that forgiveness to them. As a side note, this does not mean there's the same level of trust is offered to the individual. Okay? Forgiveness does not equal letting somebody back into your life to repeatedly, over and over and over again, do violation. It's simply saying, the fact is, I'm turning this over to you, God, to be the one who will bring the appropriate response. I'm not going to carry this. I release you to him. Jesus comes in with a parable. Okay, Peter, let me try and explain this to you. Okay? The kingdom of heaven is like a king who's got a bunch of people who owe him money. And so he came across one guy, one of his servants, was not really great with managing money. And it says, this guy owed the king 10,000 talents of gold. Side note, 10,000 talents. One talent of gold is worth 20 years' wages. Whatever you're making, times it by 20. This guy owes the king 10,000 times that. The king calls this man before him. He says, dude, it's time to pay up. I need you to pay me back. There's been some statistics that said this would be about $6 billion. I need that $6 billion I lent you. I don't have the $6 billion. And the guy's panicking. And the king says, you know, back in the day, you can't pay your debt. You know where you go? Debtor's prison. Because somehow, being in prison, you're going to be able to work and pay up back. He says, we'll sell you off. We'll sell off your wife and kids. And then somehow, some way, you'll pay it off. And the guy just falls down on his knees before the king. And cries and says, king, I don't know how I'll do it, but I'll do it. Please have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And the king says, okay, man. I forgive you this debt. You don't owe this any longer. And the guy is so excited. He doesn't have to be sold and to go to prison. His wife and kids are safe. And he goes outside the door. And he sees Dan. Dan, you owe me money. You owe me 3 months' wages. Dan, I need my money. And Dan's like, 3 months' wages? Can you give me some time? It's like, you've had time. And he calls the cops. Says, Dan owes me 3 months' wages. Take him to prison until he pays me back. It's within my rights to do so. This guy goes, I'm going to be getting my money soon. Bad day for Dan. And he goes home. The king finds out what's going on. The king has ears everywhere. Don't mess with the king, okay? So the king finds out what's going on, and he calls the first guy in. And he says, Louis, here's the deal. I heard a story. This can't be true. It can't be true. It can't be true. Tell me it's not true. You left here, Louis, having been forgiven a $6 billion debt. And you walked out and you had Dan thrown in prison for 3 months' wages. Yeah? Yeah, that's true. Are you kidding me? 6 billion, 3 months. 6 billion, 3 months. What are you thinking? You know what? He throws him in jail. Says, you're going to prison. You forgave my debt. Throws him in jail and says, you're not getting out until you pay what is owed to you. And Jesus says to Peter, what was it? Well, how about this? What does Louis owe Dan? Forgiveness. You know, the king's not saying, I need my $6 billion, then you can get out. He's saying, with the same measure you were given, you have $6 billion that you were forgiven. And you can't forgive this 3 months' wages. Yeah, it's a tidy sum. It doesn't even compare. It's a drop of water in the ocean. You should have had mercy. Then Jesus says, this is what God will do to you if you don't forgive your brother from your heart. And you could hear the birds. This is what God will do. The one who gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The one who, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. When we refuse to forgive, we put God in a spot of saying, you're tying his hands behind his back, and you get to receive the consequences of your own sin because you won't forgive another person. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a fact. Forgiveness is not a feeling. I touched on two or three verses today that deal with forgiveness, but we've got Mark and Luke and John, Ephesians, Colossians, where it's bear with one another in love. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Be kind to one another. Forgive as God forgave you. If you're standing at church and you're beginning to ask God to do something in your life, and you realize there's somebody in your life that you owe something to or that has something against you, go to them and make it right, because otherwise God's not going to listen to what you have to say. Forgiveness is a choice. And I don't even want to begin to minimize the amount of pain and hurt that can go into the building up of unforgiveness in our lives, where we've been robbed, where we've been stolen from, where we've been violated, we've been crushed, where people who should never have broken their promises to us did, where people have said terrible things about us behind our backs, where people have not even offered to ask for their forgiveness for the wrong that they've done, instead have pointed their finger at you for the things that you've done wrong. We bring this home. And to think, I need to forgive. I get to start with saying, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy. And the second part is, Lord, bring to my mind and bring to my heart where I'm holding on to unforgiveness. And then I get to work through that. Forgiveness does not happen just out there. Forgiveness happens way up in here first. To be able to receive God's forgiveness for myself and then to extend the same thing. In bringing this home, I saw something this morning that it hits me very personally. As many families have, we have broken relationships in our wake, going back generations. Great-grandparents not speaking to each other for who knows how long. Broken trust, broken friendships, violation, shady dealings, things where one person does something that cascades down and hits generation after generation after generation. In my mom's side of the family, there's a lot of brokenness, a lot of hurt, a lot of things that they've gone through. A lot of things where, through things that have been done to them, through things that they did, just brokenness. And when brokenness happens with people, they break stuff in other people. And it cascades downhill. And this is something in an area that has hit me up close and personal from the time I was a little kid. This morning, I don't get on Facebook usually in the morning because there's too many political ads on there and I get frustrated. And I don't want to get distracted, especially on Sunday, because I can be a little bit like that dog named Doug in Up, where you're on one thing and next thing you know, you've been going through YouTube videos for the last half hour. Anybody, you've done that before? So it happens to me. Squirrel, you know, that type of a thing. It goes. So I didn't want to get on there, but we are doing some testing using Facebook Live, and I wanted to be able to check to make sure everything was up and running for us. And so I open it up, and I see something my mom has posted. And it's two of her brothers who haven't spoken in 30 years. 30 years. And they're standing next to each other with their arms around each other. And one of my uncles said it's been 30 years that we've been estranged from each other. And now it's taken my brother being on hospice care to realize how silly it was that we would have allowed something to keep us separated for as long as it has. We're family. I got to tell you, it took me a while to get myself together after seeing that. Because I'm looking and I'm looking at that, I'm wrestling through, God, I don't know if I can forgive so-and-so. I don't know if I can forgive, like, from my heart. Like, from down, way down in here. And I see my two uncles. You know, we had the type of family, this is not an exaggeration. You know, Sparks police would be called because they're shooting at each other with machine guns again. Dead serious. For Basco and East M, it happened. And I said again. And now they're standing there arm in arm. Why is that? Because God has done a work of transformation in one of my uncle's lives. And forgiveness of his own stuff begins with forgiving his brother. So let me tell you, I know what it means to have forgiveness come home. We all do. We get to choose, how will we forgive? Anybody wrestle with forgiving other people? That one, it's like, how am I supposed to do it? I want to do it. How am I supposed to do it? Well, just put your heels together and click three times, and then forgiveness will just happen to you. No, forgiveness is rehearsed. Forgiveness, a lot of the times to me, sounds like, okay, God, I want to forgive. I hold so-and-so up before you, and I ask you to bless them. Oh, I say bless them. I'm really thinking along the lines of calling down fire from heaven and, you know, the King David, when he's praying about the Babylonians. I pray, God, you take the little ones and bash their heads against the rocks. It's in the Bible. Those kind of prayers would be easy to pray. Praying blessings upon those who have wronged us, not easy to do. But you want your heart to change towards someone? Pray blessing upon them. Pray for God's best for their lives. You will find out that no matter how hard the heart is in here, when you begin to pray, God does a transformation and exchanges your heart of stone for a heart of life that causes life to come out of it. And it's recognizing, I may not feel this, God, but because I've declared it and I'm believing for it and I'm rehearsing it, I'm believing it's taken place. And when we do, he will always, in every situation, meet us where we are. And we will see a freedom that comes that allows us to grow beyond the junk that has held us bound in unforgiveness, that has kept us from moving forward in him. We cannot grow in the Lord when we're bound by unforgiveness. Let's bow our heads. Lord, you know every single situation that's going on in our lives right now. You know every place where we've been wronged. You know every situation where we're tempted to hold on to the areas of hurt because they were not just small things, but they were big. But we ask you today to give us hearts that will forgive like you forgive. Give us an iron will to purpose to be people who forgive and do not hold on to the wrong, but turn them over to you. May we not be bound by our past. May we not be bound by what the enemy has meant for evil. Lord, what he meant for evil, I pray you would work it for good and cause us to be people who forgive the same way you did. In situations where it does not make sense, we can turn it over to you, Lord, knowing that you're going to be the one who takes care of the situation. I just want to give a chance with everybody's heads bowed and eyes closed. If that's God's working on you in an area about forgiveness, that you need to either ask for forgiveness or to begin the process of forgiveness with another, you just lift up both your hands to him right now. Lord, you see hands up around this room. We are people who are in desperate need of your touch, of your guidance, of your direction. I pray that you would do a great work in us, Lord, that we would be people who reflect you, that when others see us, they don't just see us, but they see people who've been with Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can put your hands down. Last thing, with our heads still bowed. If you've never started a relationship with Jesus before, he said anybody who calls upon his name would have their sins forgiven, which restores relationship with him. If you'd like to have today be the day that you agree you're starting with him, I just would invite you to lift up your hand. It's like saying, I want to start with Jesus. I want his death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to step into relationship with him. Right on, I agree with you. Anybody else? Starting with Jesus today. Right on, I agree with you. I agree with you. Right on, I agree with you. with our heads still bowed, I just would invite you to pray along with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus. I thank you that in him I can have forgiveness. And I can have a relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And give me the strength to follow you every single day. From this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us at web@hillside4.org.